Hey, John.
Hey, Nick. I would like you and all of our listeners, if you could just close your eyes.
Okay.
I don't care if you're driving. Just close them
sure.
up real tight.
They're real tightly
closed. Real tightly closed. And I'd like you to picture a crisp winter night sky.
I have it What's in my mind's eye.
Scattered with stars, specifically 5 stars. I want you to view them. I'd like you to review them again.
I'm looking at them twice.
So 5-star review. And when I snap my fingers, you're going to open your podcast app.
Great, easy listen. Guys are very informative. 5 stars.
And
what just happened to me?
And this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we answer questions. I'm John Began.
That you've had planted in your mind by a hypnotherapist.
Yeah, like a little seed in the soil.
I'm your dangling pocket watch, Nick Wood.
And I'm your whoop 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 swirly boy, John Began.
We're doing a new bit, I guess. I don't know where that came from. This week, I'm a little excited because we've talked about hypnosis in the past, but we focused specifically on whether or not you could plant false memories with hypnotic regression. But we're going to focus specifically on hypnosis today and try to figure out whether or not hypnotism is actually even real in the first place.
Wow.
But before we do that, I need to address the silent third party in the room.
That's right.
We have a new I think
energetic friend.
It's a permanent guest that will forever be silent. We have a Himalayan salt lamp on our desk now.
Woo! Yeah. You feel those vibes?
We've named it 3 stars because I'm still salty about the 3-star review we got.
And so is the lamp. Very salty. It's a pink Himalayan.
I did lick it to make sure it was real.
Mm-hmm.
Shelby got it for Christmas because she's big into yoga, and her dad's fiance thought that she would like it because she's big into yoga. So
and he doesn't listen.
She didn't want it.
Okay.
And so now we've adopted it. We've adopted 3-star, and it's our fancy little boy. It's very beautiful.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful.
I'm a big
almost
fan.
Almost blinding.
Of, yeah, especially when you look directly into the light,
right.
Which I did.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to see your face.
I've been doing that.
For the last 30 minutes.
I'm trying to get that crystal energy into my beautiful listening eyes.
Well, I've got another way to get energy into you. That sounded wrong, but I'm going to roll with it. It's staying in the episode, John.
Okay, tell me how.
Have you heard of this thing called hypnotism?
Yeah, same in the title of the
show. Oh, you've already looked. Okay. Have you ever been hypnotized?
Not that I can remember.
That's a good answer. Have you ever, seen a stage hypnotist or anything like that?
I think so. I think on a cruise I saw one once, but I don't remember it.
We in middle school we had a stage hypnotist come, and then in high school at our prom night, I think.
What?
Was it prom night?
That's weird.
No, it wasn't prom night. It was
okay.
Some other time. We were at a bowling alley or something. There was a stage hypnotist there. What the hell was that event?
I didn't live here.
Anyway, we had a stage hypnotist. I've seen a couple stage hypnotists, and I've seen my cousin was up on stage with a stage hypnotist, and my grandparents filmed it, so we watched that. So I've seen a lot of stage hypnotism. And I think that people love the idea of hypnotism for many reasons, mostly because there's this air of mystery around it. No one really knows if it's real or not, or if the people up on stage are faking it all. And every couple of years, I'll hear one of those ads on the radio where someone's coming to town and they're going to the conference center at the local hotel, and they're going to help you lose weight or quit smoking thanks to mass hypnotherapy. And every time I hear that, mostly because it's a sales pitch, but also because it's hypnosis, my skeptic hat immediately goes on. And I don't really want to talk about hypnotherapy this episode because that's a whole different thing that we could drive into. I just want to focus on whether or not hypnosis is even real at all.
Okay.
Because there's, do you believe in hypnotism?
Well,
let's just get our biases out of the way. I'll tell you my stance on this.
Okay.
I was skeptical.
I believe in hypnotic suggestion.
Okay.
If you're a suggestible person.
Yeah.
Who is already prone to listening and following orders.
Okay.
and you want to start smoking, so you hire a hypnotist so you could, because you keep smoking and it sucks, and you're like, this sucks, I'm gonna get sick,
okay,
and I don't like how it tastes. And then the hypnosis says, like, no, it'll make you look cool.
Yeah.
It looks so cool.
So that's, like, you're talking about, like, real functional hypnotism.
Yeah.
What do you think of, like, stage hypnotist? Do you think that's, like, just a parlor trick and people up there?
When your eyes turn into swirls and you try to hurt your friends?
No, that's, like, Hollywood hypnotism. I'm talking, like, you're up on the stage and they stomp their feet and snap their fingers and say sleep while they slap your hands, and then the people slump over in their chairs and it's like, when I snap, you're going to be a 3-year-old.
No, I'm embarrassed for them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a lot of pressure. You're on stage and
right. So are you just doing, like, yeah. So that's, we'll talk about that a little bit more. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever been mesmerized? Like, you're just looking at a, like, you're driving on the interstate and you just see this vast, like, canyon. You're like, oh, wow, that's so beautiful.
Or how about, okay, yeah, if I'm, like, tired but not sleepy.
Sure, yeah, you're just, like, mesmerized. I bring up this deceiving question because we can basically trace hypnosis back to one dude. And I think a lot of people know this at this point. But going further back before that, we've had things similar to what we know as hypnosis today, like deep meditation and stuff that's been observed since the BC times. But in 1770, there was one guy that just kind of started the whole hypnosis thing. And this was a guy named Franz Anton.
Oh, well.
That's a Pokemon. No, Franz Anton Mesmer. He was a German physician who thought that, you may have heard of animal magnetism. This was an idea that he followed. That
so when you take one bird and another bird that are different polarities.
They just immediately stick together, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he thought that there's this outside force that influenced humans and animals, and if you could manipulate this magnetic force, you could make these people do whatever you needed them to do. So he was kind of like a stage magician at the time. He'd get people up on stage, and he would quote-unquote cure their illnesses. He would drive people into convulsions, and I'm trying to find the nicest way to say this, but he would bring women to climax.
Okay.
Is that the best way to say that?
Yeah, we get it.
So he'd do stuff like that, and after all was said and done, people came and investigated. Apparently, even, like, Ben Franklin was investigating him. I'm not joking.
I wonder if he was, like, if he had, like, a sexual preference. He's like, oh, well, yeah, do me next. Oh, no, it only works on women.
Sorry, bud. People started investigating and realized that animal magnetism wasn't a real thing, but a handful of people walked away cured of whatever disease that they had come to him to get cured.
Yeah. And now you also did make me realize something else, that I was watching a show the other day,
mm-hmm.
and they used the word mesmerized and talked about the origin. I think it was on the Majority Report.
Was it?
Yeah. And I didn't know it came from him.
Yeah.
Like, it's
Franz
just his
Anton
last name.
Mesmer, yeah.
That's so cool.
Started from one guy. But modern hypnotism came from this Scottish man by the name of James Braid. He came along in the late 1700s, just like a few late years after Mesmer, and he saw what Mesmer was doing. He went to a couple of his shows and figured out there is no animal magnetism, but Mesmer was actually putting him in a trance using these people's own brains instead of some outside force. So he watched what Mesmer was doing and then went home and tried to recreate it on himself, like the deep focus and the breathing and, like, all the imagery that Mesmer was conjuring up for these people. And he was able to successfully help self-hypnotize himself. And he coined the word hypnosis. This comes from one guy. It was based on the Greek word hypnos, which is Greek for sleep.
So what's the difference between self-hypnosis and meditation?
You know, not a lot. As we get into this, I don't think that there is a lot between them, which is why I brought meditation up from the beginning, is because this is stuff that we've seen observed and documented for a really long time. It's just given a different name, hypnosis, which apparently James Braid, after learning more about hypnosis, hated the name he chose because it's not sleep. It's more like a deep relaxation or incredible focus somewhere in between, like a conscious state and sleep. It's not one or the other, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So hypnosis has been used in serious settings, like we've talked about, with psychotherapists and trying to help people with stopping smoking or losing weight or trauma, or, like, people are trying to use it for retrograde and amnesia to recover memories. There's also in fourth grade, I knew this kid that had a really bad nail biting problem. Like, his nails were shorter than mine are, and I have a nail biting problem.
Yeah.
So I remember he went to a hypnosis in the fourth grade to help him with his nail biting habit, and I know he stopped. stopped, but I don't know if it stuck forever or not. So I thought that was an interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if you need a little refresher.
Yeah.
Because it's probably, if it is something that you're going to internalize, mm-hmm. and then when you go to sleep, you take your temporary memories into your permanent memories.
Yeah. But going back to Braid, he, back in the 1800s, would hypnotize people while they were like getting their limbs amputated and stuff, and help, because they didn't have like anesthesia back then, so he'd hypnotize people so they wouldn't feel the pain of surgery, and increased success rates of surgeries back then.
Wow.
Which is crazy, which is my first step in saying maybe hypnosis is real.
Yeah, there's a there's this book by, I think his name's Thatnin Nachan or something, like... Let me look this up for you. Anyway, yeah. there's a story, and he's a Buddhist monk, and his father had surgery with no painkiller, and they thought that they put painkiller in, but they forgot, and he didn't say anything.
he just dealt with it?
Yeah, he focused on the pain and like said, oh, I didn't even feel it.
Yeah.
Just hypnotized
himself. It's crazy what you can do with your own brain, right? But I think even more famously, when it comes to hypnotism, when you hear that word, I think most people are going to think of like stage hypnotists.
Yeah.
At least that's what I think of. I don't know about you. And honestly, I think that that's where a lot of the bad rep for hypnosis comes from, and where my skeptical viewpoint before I did research on hypnosis came from. And that, and there's been a surprisingly low amount of research done on hypnotism for having it been around for almost 300 years, like 250 years. There hasn't been a lot of research done on hypnotism. There's been small studies, like they would hypnotize someone and then suggest that their hand was hot, like say your hand's on fire, and then they would point a thermal camera at their hand and their hand would increase in temperature, which is crazy. It's just like that's what your brain does. But that's like it was a study to see if they could suggest these things. It wasn't to figure out how hypnosis worked. So that's part of the problem. They've also looked to see how hypnosis affects our brains in terms of pain or perception, like vision and feel, but not if it changes the brain at all. Like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like magnetic flow in your brain. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
If there's tangible evidence or if it's imagined, I guess.
Yeah, or if it's like placebo or yeah. something. And if your only exposure to hypnotism is stage hypnotism, I think you're highly susceptible to become a skeptic. And that's because, again, they're up there, they snap their finger while stomping their feet on the stage and slapping someone's hands and saying, sleep! And then they make them act like a chicken or laugh uncontrollably or make them think they're speaking an alien language. Or every time they hear a word, they yell something, you know?
Yeah.
And I see that, and I think other psychologists agree that it's possible those people are just up there doing what the hypnotist tells them, either because they don't want to not do it and like be embarrassed, or they...
Don't you think that'd be more embarrassing for the hypnotist, though?
Maybe, yeah.
Like, wouldn't you want to go up and be like...
It's like, what I'm trying to think of was, it's like almost like confirmation bias, where you want to give the hypnotist what he is suggesting you... What am I trying to say?
Yeah,
you want to give him what he's feeding you because you don't want to make him look like an idiot and then make yourself look like an idiot. So that's possible that that's part of it. Or they have this excuse to act like a chicken or whatever, and they're like, screw it, I'm just going to let my imagination go.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to look at those and say that.
It's easy to disprove.
Yeah.
Just find someone that doesn't know what a chicken sounds like and tell them to act like a chicken.
Maybe. Well, that's a whole set of different issues. But I think that that's kind of like, I think a lot of people call it this as well, is Hollywood hypnotism. Like the dangling watches and the spirals.
And probably your beloved Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. There's an episode with the Big Top Bedlam, I think is what it's called. And there's a clown that goes around hypnotizing like Shaggy and Scooby with a pocket watch.
And then they get little swirls in their eyes?
Yeah. Of course they do.
Yeah.
Woo, woo, woo. That's the sound effect that plays. But anyway, when I looked up to find evidence against hypnotism, that's pretty much all I found was like, well, it's just people doing what the hypnotist tells them to do because they don't want to be embarrassed, or they have the platform to just act like an idiot and get away with it, and no judgment on them. And I found like one article from 1994 that was from the Independent, like the UK magazine or newspaper, and there was like one psychologist who at the time had been studying hypnosis for 20 years and thought it was utter nonsense, which I thought was fascinating. He thought people were just acting out, and this might have been true like 25 years ago, but I think a lot has changed since then, which brings me to today, because these days we've actually done a little bit more research. Like finally in 2016 we put some people under hypnosis, hooked them up to an fMRI machine, and try to figure out if hypnosis works. How does it work? 2016, it took us 250 years to finally care enough to figure out if it changes the brain waves. Anyway, so these days, there's kind of two sort of theories on why hypnosis works. But part of the problem is how you define hypnosis, because I've saw a couple people defining it as simple as, like, there's this psychologist on YouTube that was like, if you've ever, like, just been driving and all of a sudden you miss your exit because you weren't paying attention and you're just, like, you forget how you got from point A to point B, you were hypnotized. Or if you were watching a TV show or movie and it started to make you feel emotional and you cried, that was a form of hypnotism because you just got so focused on it and wrapped up on it.
It's feeling emotions.
Yeah.
or spacing out.
Yeah. So I guess his definition is if you've ever spaced out, you've been hypnotized. Farther on that spectrum is that, like, hypnotism is this highly focused, altered mental state where your consciousness and subconsciousness separate and you become highly suggestible. That's, like, the far end of the belief. And then the other school of thought is that you are just what I said before, that you're responding to what the hypnotist tells you to because you think that's how you're supposed to act. And maybe you've seen a stage hypnotist before and you're like, oh, this is what people do under hypnosis, so I'm going to do that too because I believe that's what hypnosis is. And why shouldn't that be hypnosis? If that's what the critics are saying, is this is just people doing what they believe hypnosis is because that's what they've observed, why is that not hypnosis? You're still being suggested to do this stuff.
Yeah, sounds like a verbiage thing.
Yeah, it's just semantics at this point. But I will say right now, to directly answer the question of today's episode of whether or not hypnosis is real or not, it seems, by and large, hypnosis is a real thing. And I don't, like I said, I don't know why it can't be both. Like, why can't it just be someone up on stage like, well, I don't really know what hypnosis is. Is this hypnosis? I'll just do what he says.
Is that a limit of language, you think?
Maybe.
A limitation of, like, that's...
Yeah, I think a lot of people just get stuck on definitions.
Yeah.
Because, like, things can be two things at once.
Yeah, you can have a Himalayan salt lamp. That's just kind of not doing too much for me right now.
Yeah.
But it does a lot for my stir fry.
It's, you know? True, yeah. It makes it taste real
so you
nice.
You get multiple functions at the same thing.
Yeah, it still works for something. But when it comes to studies, there's, like I said, there's been a few small ones. There's, like, that infamous study where they give a bunch of people some beer and they say, this is really alcoholic. You're going to get wasted off of, like, three beers. So, like, an hour later, they come back and the people are, like, smashed and they're like, you're beautiful. And they're like, hey, by the way, those are non-alcoholic beers. And they, like, immediately sober up.
Yeah.
That's, like, a form of hypnotism because you are being suggested. You have these expectations set up and someone says, like, ha, you're going to get drunk. And then you think you're going to get drunk. So you do.
Yeah. So it sounds like hypnotism is suggesting that you do something and then mm-hmm. it's actually your own brain that does all the work.
Yeah. So I think that's the lower end. I think that that's kind of like the answer to the argument of people being like, oh, these people up on stage are just, they're acting up. It's not real. That's possible. But at the same time, it's still a form of hypnotism, right?
Yeah.
But if you want to say, if you're a purist.
Or guilt, you know, you're just kind of guilting them into it.
That's
maybe a little
part of it.
Yeah. Fear.
Yeah. But if you want to be a purist and stick to definitions and you want to know if people can actually, like, change people's brain waves by putting them in a trance-like state, the answer is still yes. Hypnotism in that regard is still real, which kind of blew me away. Like, even last night I was talking to Shelby. I was like, our topic this week is hypnosis. Do you believe in hypnosis? And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, what if I told you hypnosis is real? And she's like, what? I was like, yeah, it's real. And I'm kind of blown away. And she's like, that's, wow, okay. Okay. I guess that's how it is. This is our household. These are the conversations we have. So I didn't mention before, but I think part of what leads to the decreased trust in hypnosis is that apparently, like, not everyone is susceptible to hypnosis. Apparently only 10 to 12% of the population is highly susceptible to hypnosis. Another 20% is considered resistant to hypnosis, and then everyone else is just somewhere in between. So not a huge population can be hypnotized. And I think that that's part of it. So you go to a stage hypnosis, and he's like, you in the audience, you guys can participate along, and then you don't get hypnotized, and you're like, oh, this is BS. So while trying to figure out why some people are highly susceptible, they did hook people up to an fMRI, and they found that people that are highly susceptible to hypnosis have a larger rostrum in their corpus callosum.
Right. I was going to say that.
I took the words right out of your mouth.
Right out of my callosum.
Well, in that case, what does the rostrum do, John?
Well, it's kind of like a rostering system that's internalized into our mechanics of the brain.
Okay.
So when the synapses are firing to the
electrical
signaling.
Okay. I'll stop you right there. The rostrum is the focus or attention center of our brain. So what we believe now is that hypnosis is just like incredible focus on either something or nothing. And if you have a bigger center for focus in your brain, you're more susceptible to hypnosis, which lends credence to this theory. That's where we are today. When it comes to the brain, usually when I talk about the brain on this show, we don't really know how things work. But this time we actually, like, almost sort of know why hypnosis works.
Wow, almost sort of.
Yeah, that's the closest we've ever gotten on this show.
That is pretty close.
So this is, like I said before, this was a study back in just 2016, less than 3 years ago, from Stanford. So you know that they're credible. They, for the what appears to be the first time, they put 57 subjects on an fMRI and hypnotized. Well, they tried to hypnotize them. And I say they tried to hypnotize them because they had 21 control people. Like, they took a survey to see who was highly susceptible to hypnosis and who would be resistant to hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And they got 21 people that were resistant to hypnosis.
But in total, 57 varieties of people.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and you got to smack them on the right part of their head to hypnotize them. But it was a small study, so keep that in mind. But what they saw in the hypnotized people, they didn't see in the people that were not hypnotized at all. So it was a really good control. And in the people that were hypnotized, they found three things that they think contribute to, like, real, observable, pure hypnotism of altering brain waves. So there was, the first thing is they found a decrease in activity in the dorsal anterior cingulate, which mm-hmm. basically...
It's the dolphin center of the brain. Yeah.
This basically turns down your social inhibitors. So this is the part of your brain that is responsible for, like, prominence or, like, the importance that you're putting off. If you feel like more attention is being drawn to you, there's a chance that your self-confidence you'll lose your self-confidence. So
that part of your brain probably... depending on how chemically charged it is, mm-hmm. makes you an introvert or extrovert.
Right. Yeah. That's like a whole different conversation. But by turning down, like inhibiting that prominence that you feel, can make you more susceptible just to be like, ah, screw it. I'm going to bark like a dog. Sure. Why not? They also found that there was an increased interaction between your dorsolateral prefrontal cortex and your insula. And these... these parts of your brain,
yeah.
I know that you already know what this, but...
Yeah, no, yeah. The insula steals your voice and, gives you legs in exchange.
That's what she, okay. So these parts of your brain these parts of your brain tell your brain what's going on in your body. So if it's working correctly, when I wave my arms, I know that I'm waving my arms. And then lastly, they found a decreased interaction between that same dorsolateral prefrontal cortex and your default mode network, which again, you already know what this means.
Yeah, default mode. Yeah.
Yeah, it's your T-pose.
Eating. Sleeping. The basics.
So the research believe that this detaches your awareness of your actions from you performing those actions. So if you're like itching your leg, your body's just like itching your leg, but you don't really realize that you're doing it.
Yeah. So no, that's scary. I would not like to have that turned off.
Isn't that?
Like, especially if, you know, you're just there like thinking like...
It's almost like an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm making a sandwich. I don't want this sandwich.
But that's, I mean... that all three of these things together, like, first it makes you more susceptible to do crazy things, and then detaching your brain from the actions your body are performing makes you highly susceptible, so you don't really think about what you're doing. Your brain's just doing it without your brain realizing it.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
No, I've been there. I like I said, you know, I wrote, sometimes you write John and Dijon mustard and yeah. You know, you don't even like Dijon.
I know. Who bought that? Why is it in the fridge?
Yeah,
it's been here since 1984.
Vinegar is a main ingredient.
The house was built in 1994.
Does it go bad?
So a different study sort of backed this up by showing that people under hypnosis can have their memories of an event inaccessible by the brain. So what they did was they had people watch a movie and then they hypnotized them. And the suggestion was to completely forget the plot of the movie until like a trigger was given.
Oh.
So like when they say bananas, then they would remember the plot of the movie. So they hypnotized them, and then they were asked details of the movie, and they couldn't remember anything about the movie, but they could clearly remember, like, details about the room that they were in when they watched the movie, and then they said bananas or whatever, and all the details of the plot came back to them, which is, again, it's detaching your brain from itself.
It's almost like this would be a fun experiment to do, like, on recording right now, but... Yeah. It's almost impossible to make it sound like it's not doctored.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's the part of it, too, that people just think that this whole thing is completely made up because like maybe you haven't had firsthand experience.
Not only that,
maybe
but you could be in the 90% of people that are not susceptible.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you might never experience hypnosis, so it's really easy to say, oh, you're just making it up. However, what takes me away from being a skeptic to being, I guess, a believer in hypnosis, which is a weird sentence, is that there is physical and tangible evidence that we can put people in a trance-like state and manipulate even their body. Like I said before, we can make people's hands heat up by telling them their hand is on fire. And not only that, but we have the fMRI saying we've detached the brain from the body.
This is like the second time. So, okay. You win this time, magic.
Yeah.
You got lavender oils and hypnosis.
Yeah. Isn't that frustrating?
A little bit.
But the cool thing is that this is real.
Yeah.
Like, scientists are trying to use hypnosis to figure out other things. Like I said, retrograde amnesia, where there are traumatic experiences blocked off by the brain. They're trying to use what we learned from hypnosis, like that study where you can trigger the memories to come back about this movie. We're trying to do that with like retrograde amnesia.
Oh, God.
Which is like, if we can figure the mechanics of that out, that'd be fantastic.
Hey, Barry, how was the war? Oh, it was great. Banana.
Oh no. Barry, I miss you so. I don't know why I chose anything. But that's all I got on hypnosis. I talked.
Wait,
in
that scenario, was Barry, was he dating Barry?
No, he lost Barry in the war.
Okay. I just want to...
They're both named Barry.
Right.
Spelled different.
Yeah, they're best...
Barry and Beary.
Right, yeah, Barry. It's in the future. It's when animals are allowed to join the force.
Yeah. Hey, boo-boo. How about a recap of this episode?
All right. Hypnosis is real. Stranger's still 82. Magic 2.
Yeah, how many episodes
that's the score.
That's true. Well, I'm surprised, but science is on hypnosis' side, and good for it.
Hypnosis' side,
but not the Pokemon Hypno.
No.
That's a completely different episode.
He's with Hollywood. He's the big Hollywood. Time.
Yeah. Should we take a break?
Let's listen to a little diddle that I wrote.
Yeah, all right. I would say you're getting very sleepy, but that's a tired joke, and I'm sick of hearing it after doing all my research. You know how many times that joke came up in research? Every single article and video.
Wow.
So annoying, so I won't do that. But if you are feeling highly suggestible, maybe you could help us out a little bit. Like, if you want to interact with us, you can go to facebook.com/group/StrangerStillShow.
Mm-hmm. Or just search Stranger Still.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to get there.
I also made a page. For us, so that's on there, but there's nothing there yet. So actually, maybe it's private.
I have no idea. We'll find out.
You search and you'll tell me.
You can also leave us a review on iTunes. That's like maybe the nicest thing you can do.
Yeah,
we just got another review. I think you'll like this. It is from just after we released last week's episode.
Good.
Appropriately enough.
Is it the minimum amount of daily recommended stars?
It is 5 stars.
Okay, that's a good amount.
From Mama Cheese. Chizz. Mama Chiz? Cheese?
It's cheese.
Okay. It's titled, Did I Just Eat? It said, fun podcast, easy to listen to, nice voices, audio quality, would recommend.
Wow.
WOOD.
Wow, wow.
Per your suggestion, the lightning bolt emoji. Thanks, guys. I actually learned a lot. Haha. Thank you, Mama Cheese. I'm glad that our idiocracy has become a joke to you listeners now.
I also have a feeling that I know who that is.
Yeah.
And I think that you should listen to a new podcast that's coming out soon, the American Toast Podcast. But it doesn't exist yet.
Oh, okay. I think it does, but...
Does it?
They just put out their first episode.
Well, then go listen to it.
Speaking of listening to podcasts, we know you love podcasts. We are part of the Flying Machine Network, as you already know, as a listener, which you can support the network by going to flyingmachine.com.
Yep. We got to refuel the planes.
Yep.
We got to refuel the people.
Yep. I said flyingmachine.com is flyingmachine.network, and then if you want to support the Patreon, I confused the two. It's patreon.com/flyingmachine.
Yep.
So you can go there and support us and all the other shows.
$1 a month.
Dollar a month, get live streams.
What were your three ideas that you told me you were excited about? Because I think all of them are good, and I'd like you to say them.
Yeah, okay. So our bonus episode this month, we got the new Himalayan salt lamp, and it came with some product details that I wanted to read for our audience. I've also been watching this guy on YouTube, whose name I forget. I'll look it up. But him and I believe his brother fill out Mad Libs and then read them to each other while the other person holds water in their mouth. And I just want to do Mad Libs with you.
Yeah.
And then the last one is I want to talk about like a serious thing. The YouTuber's name is Joe Santagato. He seems really popular.
Santagato.
Yeah, so some people have probably already seen these. But then the last thing I want to talk about, like hypnotherapy, and we might learn a little bit more than just hypnosis. So that's for $5 a month, you get the bonus episodes. But for $1 a month, you get live streams, you help all the shows on the network, we can improve the audio quality even more, start doing some videos and stuff. And while you're at flyingmachine.network, there's a bunch of other shows on there. I would highly recommend listening to Divisive Issues,
mm-hmm.
because in March, Captain Marvel comes out, and they've just done like a whole month full of Captain Marvel stuff. So they talk about the origins of when Captain Marvel was a guy before Carol Danvers, and then the week before, they talked about like Carol Danvers, who's the current Captain Marvel and will be the Captain Marvel movie. So if you want to brush up, like
get prepped up.
Yeah, you don't have to be a comic book.
Yeah.
So two of the people on the show are comic book lovers, and two of the other hosts know nothing about comics. So it's a really good entry point if you're just like, I want to go see Captain Marvel, but I don't know anything about Captain Marvel. There's your answer. Go listen to Divisive Issues.
Wow, sounds like us. Like one of us is smart and the other one's very handsome and really good looking.
And humble. Don't forget that.
And very, very like the most humble.
Yeah.
Don't interrupt me.
The most humble.
No one's more humble.
So yeah, go check that out. Actually, they're doing Carol Danvers part one last week, and then next week they're doing part two. So a lot of Captain Marvel to pump you up for March.
For you to marvel at.
Hey, that was a good one.
Well,
I asked our listeners for hypnosis for hypnosis stories, and everyone came up short. No one wanted in to share any hypnosis stories. So if you ever want to help out the show, one thing you can do is go to Facebook, and whenever I ask you for stuff, just answer.
Yeah,
that's all the after break content I have today.
I'm
getting very sleepy. Get it? Ha! I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.